I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Welcome to Simulate Breachcast, a Cybercrime Magazine podcast series brought to you by Simulate, the developers of a breach and attack simulation platform that enables companies to challenge, assess, and optimize their cybersecurity posture against threat evolutions simply and continuously. To learn more about Simulate, visit simulate.com. Welcome, Avahai. So great to have you back on the show with us today.
Thank you very much for having me today. Happy to be back.
So, Avahai, let's say in a theoretical situation that we've been attacked. What happens in the final stages? What are attackers and cyber criminals trying to do at the conclusion of an attack?
Yeah, so there are many outcomes to an attack at the end of the day. There are lots of different variations of outcomes. And it really depends on the attacker and their objective. You know, if it's a lots of nation state attacks where, you know, they were very objective oriented by their nature, which I will say maybe the edge cases. But kind of if we kind of take, you know, the classic ransomware objective, which is all, we've also discussed that on our different episodes as mm-hmm. well. Those ransomware attacks will probably go for that classic held hostage, encrypt or exfiltrate critical data, you know, crown jewels again. Take those crown jewels, maybe encrypt them and hold them, and hold them hostage. Maybe exfiltrate that and just, you know, hold hostage to publish it and kind of, you know, shame the company for that. And it's not only shaming, it's actually also, you know, lack of privacy that might be damaged if something like that happens as well. Those are maybe the most common outcomes of, you know, of a breach. If an attacker probably encrypt or exfiltrate critical data that you keep of your clients. But there are different outcomes. You know, it can be classic denial of service. It might, I think these days, again, we see those as well, but it's also definitely a valid outcome. I would say the classic denial of service or even, you know, altering of data, basically like the data confidentiality and data integrity are something that are important as well. The data integrity is also something which is important. If an attacker also alters different things in a system, the integrity of the data is lost. And again, it's also a pretty big damage to a company that got attacked as well. But there are different variations for outcomes for different kind of breaches.
Okay. And so, in understanding that attackers want to exfiltrate critical data to perhaps sell on the dark web or what have you at the end of the attack, what can be done to stop this and mitigate further damage? And I guess any recent examples you can think of to share, please feel free to add those.
Sure. So even, you know, before kind of jumping into the action items, as we also discussed in our different chapters in the first and in the second, the data exfiltration these days is it's important to always say it's also used on ransomware-based attacks from a hostage perspective. The attackers get the critical data out, they keep it, and now they're going to negotiate with the attacked organization about whether or not they're going to publish that data and cause that, you know, damage, whether or not if it's a an image or brand based damage, or it can also be a privacy based damage as well. And so that data exfiltration also holds inside of it lots of ransomware based objectives as well, even though it kind of maybe doesn't sound like it at first stage as well. And you know, the taking it back to the continuous security validation, where you can actually find the gaps, you can actually find whether or not your security controls are going to be there when something like that happens. That's where you can make the most value to your money on what you have. And that's where you can also really understand how attackers are exfiltrating data. Why are they doing it? How do they do that? How is my security controls coping with it? How is that encryption and exfiltration technique are detected on my systems, if again, if an attacker actually lands on mine, trying to exfiltrate my data, there are actual ways to cope with that. There are actual ways to detect that, to minimize the impact of it, and also to prevent it entirely, and minimize the options that the attacker will have for exfiltrating data. They all lies and they all fit into this continuous security validation use case where you can actually validate which kind of attack techniques for data exfiltration can actually succeed and be under the radar on my environment. And once you find those, as I mentioned, there will be action items. You can cope with them. This is not a lost cause. Those breaches can be prevented. Again, and at the end, it will always help you to make sure as much as less as damage that can be created by a breach like that, and help you make quicker decisions on how to remediate afterwards. And again, it's I'll kind of repeat that it really help you once you're prepared to even after post breach to recover in the best way you can.
Okay, great. And so with a breach and attack simulation platform, how can that work to help enterprises shore up any gaps that may leave them vulnerable in these types of attacks? You know, how can this tool help with the various attack surfaces that exist?
Sure. So just, you know, I think also the Accelion data breaches that happened was basically tagged to, you know, a Klopp ransomware gang. It's also kind of an example of a supply chain attack, similar to what happened with SolarWinds. From a conceptual perspective, of course, kind of the initial foothold stage was definitely different. But actually, then, you know, the being able to deploy those, you know, to actually get web shells on top of those is just the perfect way to also get in. But those exact security validation sites will be that, I will say, perfect way to describe why that's so important. Because even though that vulnerability that existed there could have been leveraged and was leveraged, the idea is that I've also mentioned that on our first episode, there are so many stages of the attack, and you should not give up on because the first stage succeeded, or I don't know, the fifth stage succeeded. There are so many stages to the attack, and you can definitely get lots of different ways to make sure that you know, detect, do you prevent different kind of stages that attackers will probably go to. And then if something similar to that will be exploited on your end, you can still minimize a lot of the damage that can be created, that can actually be impacted on your environment by making sure that you minimize the risk throughout each one of those stages. And that's, I always like to describe that as security layers, just like an onion. You need to make sure that every layer of your security is optimized to the best way that you can. And there are a lot of things you probably can to do with your security control these days. You just not, you know, the common organization just don't know that that's what it needs to do. That these are the techniques that they are using. As like, at the end, there will be common techniques that a lot of attackers are going to use. Even though one attack might exploit a specific zero-day vulnerability or a specific one-day vulnerability to get like his initial foothold or to move laterally, but around that, there will be, you know, that 80% of the techniques that are well-known, well out there, that, you know, a continuous the security controls know and they have the capabilities to prevent or detect them. They just need the right tuning to do it.
Excellent. And once, I think one of the outputs is that an enterprise gets their security score. So once they have that security score, can they then work to improve their score and their cyber posture? And I guess, what are some of these proven improvement methodologies?
Sure. So I would say that the best way to kind of describe the ability to score, I will say the security posture, is there are two main value props out of it. It's quantifiable. You can track it and you can measure it over time. And it's also, you can also benchmark it and get, you know, perspective and proportional insights because of it. And at the end, on us as well, we also provide on our output remediation guidance. What do you need? What will be your next steps? Of course, as an organization, you have an agenda. You have business needs as well. Not every remediation is as simple as clicking a checkbox. And some of it might have an impact on your business. It's not always just, you know, black and white. But those will be smart decisions you'll be able to take once you actually understand, you know, the impact of a specific attack and take that decisions in a vital manner, even though there are still lots of things that you can do without impacting the business as well. But those two perceptions, they exist and they are okay, but the guidance that you're gonna get for remediation, for mitigation, to prevent and to detect different kind of attacks is very, very effective and it's very comprehensive as well. Then on your end, you decide as a security manager which path you're going to go through. That's great because we're definitely here to help you and not replace you. So we will always provide, you know, continuous scores across different security controls that will also help you not just with benchmarking and tracking and improvements. They will also help you with prioritization as well. Because you can also get the prioritization again from a security layers perspective. So we will also break it down. We'll also break down that onion of security controls aligned with the cybersecurity kill chain and gonna give you that view of where on that kill chain you are most exposed according to the different scoring mechanism. Basically, on you know, just with one view, you're able to say, okay, that's the layer of the onion I need to focus my resources on because that's where I'm most exposed. And that's maybe one of the things our scoring is also very helpful because it really is a very simple, quick, and easy way to get those different insights.
Fantastic. And Avahai, finally, I was reviewing the infographic that Simulate created to accompany your 2020 yearly usage report. And I noticed that the riskiest attack vectors last year were web gateway and web application vectors. Do you think this will remain consistent in 2021?
So it seems like as we go and time passes, it seems like, you know, that spear phishing and web server-based attacks like exploiting browser exploit kits that are out there all the time is still very effective. It has been over, you know, the last several years as well. So I do think so. But there are also more statistics that we can, you know, learn from. So I will say that all of our customers, you know, are using our product in a very continuous fashion, at least once a week. Even some more impressive statistics, 90% of them assessed, you know, validated their environment for different kind of ransomware-based campaigns. So I think like ransomware is still a key, a key factor that, you know, companies want to protect themselves from. 96% of our clients actually tested their environment for the SolarWinds campaign, which is a pretty big number. And the SolarWinds also made a big noise. And it seems like it succeeded because really all of our clients, they all wanted to test that, which, yeah, I think it does make sense, I'll be honest. And why do they do that? Sometimes you know, sometimes they want to know, they want to see, they want to understand, they want to learn, they want to validate. Sometimes what they want is the confidence, you know, to really test on their production. You know, they really adopted the idea and the concept of what we do. And you know, at the end, it's even sometimes some kind of an assurance, you know, for a CISO that hears on the news and something what he needs, maybe even knows that they're good from the SolarWinds attack. I don't know, maybe they're not even using, you know, SolarWinds. He wants that assurance, nevertheless, because everybody wants, you know, everybody wants to sleep good at night. So that's even something which is, you know, the why sometimes is really that important.
And are these types of insights, you know, that do the companies need to work these in tandem with breach and attack simulation?
Sure. And I don't really, instead of saying, you know, along with breach and attack simulation, they bust tools that can be implemented in a continuous security assessment fashion, they really bring that value, okay?
Okay.
They need to be there, you know, not just with them, it's a part of it.
Okay.
I also say it as well, and it's not 100% the same, but the example I always give is you know, where at the end, we're also not just a cybersecurity company, we're also a development company, we develop things as well. And nobody thought about developing without having like a, you know, QA on their team as well, and that's the same thing. And for me, as a, you know, as a cybersecurity organization or you know oriented, I need to have my quality assurance. I need to understand, you know, how is everything working, and that is pure value proposition. Nobody can dispute that you know QA is 100% integral part of development, and just like that. Actually validating that different kind of security aspects of your environment is definitely a part of it and not just like goes along with it. As I mentioned also, I think the accessibility idea is also that really helped as well because we really offer it for, you know, the different kind of users out there from the blue teamers to the purple teamers to the red teamers. They can all get value from the automation that we provide, from the skill set that our product can bring to the table, and from the comprehensiveness of it, the coverage, the constant updates, the comprehensiveness of the testing methodologies, the ease of use, the ease of deployment. It can really relate to the different teams with different value props that our product can bring. And each one of those teams can leverage out of it. And definitely the CISO as a manager that actually kind of, you know, oversees everything from his one role point of view.
Excellent. Well, as always, Avahai, thank you so much for coming onto the show and lending us your expertise. Really appreciate it. And I know our listeners appreciate it as well.
Thank you very much for having me. And I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Speak to you next time. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Simulate Breachcast is brought to you by Simulate, the developers of a breach and attack simulation platform that enables companies to challenge, assess, and optimize their cybersecurity posture against threat evolutions simply and continuously. To learn more about our sponsor, Simulate, visit simulate.com. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.